don't take those. We'll be lost. All right, a few weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, and the Spirit was speaking to me, and just kind of put questions on my mind about what made in His image. What does it really mean? Where does it go? And sometimes I wonder why He does it in the middle of the night, but He did. And I thought, you know, as I thought about it, I wonder if there's others that really search out what it means. And obviously, it's not a physical image, because if this is what God looks like, then what happened to all the rest of you, right? So it can't be a physical thing. It's got to be more than that. So let's pray. Lord, I thank You for being able to speak about You this evening. May this message bring a better understanding of who You are and why we're here and what a perfect plan You have for us. We just thank You for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I thought first we look at the attributes of God, kind of compare them. There are attributes of God that we obtain a little bit of, and there are some that really we kind of shine for Him through. So let's look at the attributes of God as we reflect them. God is our creator. In Genesis 1, says many times, "And God said." It's repeated a number of times. "And it came to be." God created from nothing. He spoke into existence everything except for man. Man He formed with His own hands. I spent some time thinking about this, and the only thing that I could come up with that I've created from nothing is anger. That's the only thing I could come up with. And I don't think that really counts. So I don't think I really reflect Him as a creator, although He's given us some ability to fashion things and so forth, but not really create something from nothing. God is omnipresent, meaning He is everywhere. We see this in Isaiah 66:1. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. That is the house that You would build for me, and what is the place of my rest?" His presence is both in heaven and in earth at the same time. Now, unless you count Skype in two places, being in two places at the same time, I don't think I reflect this either. And probably none of you do either. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, able to do all that He wills. Hebrews 6:13. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.'" In court cases, the witnesses are asked to swear to God that what they're about to say is true to the best of their ability or best of their knowledge. God, however, had to swear to Himself. There was no one greater to hold Him to the promise. God has the power to do anything except that which goes against His will. And that's which goes against His character, because that would affect His holiness. But He is all-powerful. I don't reflect omnipotence either by my power, because my power is very limited. God is omniscient, perfect, all-knowing. Isaiah 40:13-14. "Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him counsel? Whom did He counsel, and whom made Him understand?" God's knowledge is beyond what we can even comprehend. Now, this one I come close to, at least according to my wife, because there have been times when she has called me a know-it-all. So I assume that that's what that means. Yeah. Yes, sometimes I do need to be humbled, and I thank her for that. We have seen that We've seen that we are not a visual image of God, and that there are attributes of God that we don't have or only have a little of. Now let's look at some of them that we do have. I don't pretend that this list is all-inclusive. There are many other aspects of God, but these are just the ones we'll focus on tonight. God is a loving God. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall be not removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God's love is beyond what life shows us. I doubt we'll ever experience that such love as the love except from him. Can you imagine a world without love? What would it be like? I can see a marriage proposal where someone would go up to another person and say, Judy, would you marry me? I would be agreeable to give you 3 kids and a house on the lake. But she'd come back and say, well, I want 3 girls. I'd have to say, no, that's just not going to work. Hey, Barb, you know, that's how the process would work. It would just, without love, it would be just an exchange. Why our love is limited compared to what God's love is, we do have an ability to love. And that love is, you know, not as much as he has, but it's there. And it's part of the attributes that he's given us. God is a God of work. In Genesis 2, we see God has finished his work and rested. We see an aspect of God that we can experience. In fact, we are made to work, and by working we glorify God. In Genesis, we see Adam working in the garden, and Eve was given to Adam as a helper. God has given us work in order to accomplish his plan. Our life pattern is based on working. Before the fall, Adam's work was enjoyable. After the fall, work became hard. It wasn't the same. And we needed it for survival. So things changed after the fall with work. Next, in James 1, 5 and 6, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. We see that God has given us wisdom, the ability to reason, to respond to emotional feelings, to love, and the ability to choose whether to obey or not. No other living creature has the ability to reason. Don't have questioned that a few times deer hunting. Animals have an instinct, not reason. We have the capability to make decisions, to be able to care for his creation. While we share God's attribute of wisdom, we do not share it completely. God's wisdom is so beyond what we can even comprehend. We see an example of God's moral character in Genesis 20, 1 through 7. From there, Adam journeyed towards the territory of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her, so he said, Lord, would you kill an innocent people? Did he not say to me, he is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he may pray for you, and you shall live. We are called to live moral lives also. Our conscience is a gift from God to help make good choices. The ability to show goodness, love, mercy, grace, and patience to others is a reflection of our moral character and a reflection of God. Relational. We see God's relation in the Trinity. God is three persons. Each person is fully God, yet there is only one God. The difference between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is how they relate to each other. They each have a different purpose for creation. While it's easy to see where our relation desire is in family, church, and work, much of our relational being has turned to possessions, our sinful desires, our wants, not our needs. The last way I see his image is our worth. Just the fact that we were created in his image gives us great value. Many struggle with this area of self-worth, but God loved us so much that he found a way to bring us back into fellowship with him. Jesus' sacrifice isn't something to take for granted. It should be the reason we want to reflect his image. Out of a thankful heart, God loved us so much and still does. The list of God's attributes is much greater. We have touched just a few of these and of the attributes he created. God spoke everything into creation in existence except for man. He created man in his image. Then he gave man authority over all living things. Why? Because man was made to think and solve problems like God would. The fall tarnished man's image. We are still made in God's image. We are still his crowning achievement. But because we are tarnished, we can no longer look upon God or walk alongside him. We are no longer immortal. Now we see God through Jesus, and the eternal life comes through him. Praise God, he found a way to restore our relationship with him. When you think about the fact that God formed man with his own hands, and you think about a potter, when a potter forms a pot and makes it, he designs it. If he likes it, he has the right to destroy it. If he doesn't like it, he has the right to destroy it. If he likes it, it's his possession. He can still destroy it if he wants to. He has every right to do that. But he owns that pot. That is his. And then you see God's creation in the same way. We're his creation. He has every right to do whatever he wants with us. There's no disputing that. But God, in his love, decided rather than destroy us, he was going to make us greater, make us his greatest creation. So we were created by God for a purpose, designed to carry out our assignments with the abilities needed. And by doing the purpose correctly, we give God glory. We've seen many areas where we were created in his image. We are the crowning achievement of his creation, formed by his hands, and he is called very good. So it calls us to ask ourselves, do you see yourself in the manner or the purpose in which you were made? Are you giving God glory through your choices? Our attributes that God has given us are all for a purpose. That purpose is to give him glory and to manage the and have the authority over the earth that he has given us. Let's pray.